Welcome to the APA Podcast, where we help one another follow Jesus at home, in our city, and around the world.
Think of the various relationships you have in your life. We all have a wide variety of them. Maybe you have a boss, or maybe you are the boss and you have employees. You have family members, parents, siblings, maybe kids. You have friends of all kinds. You have neighbors, some that you like, some that you wish would move away, right? Some of these people you talk to every day. Some of them you talk to occasionally. Some of them you wish you could spend more time with. Some of them you wish you could spend less time with. But we all have a variety of relationships in our life, and our relationships tend to have an impact on how we actually view God. They influence how we see God and how we relate to Him, because human interactions show us so much about our relationship with God, sometimes in negative ways and sometimes in positive ways. But some people see God as a cosmic boss. Certainly, you know, you see Him as a cosmic boss pushing for more production and breathing down your neck to punish you if you do something wrong. Some people see God not as a cosmic boss, but as a cosmic butler, someone that you order around and tell what to do. If he doesn't do his job properly, you fire him or replace him with someone else. Others see God as just being too big and too far away and too distant to have any kind of relationship with. God is aloof or uncaring, barely aware of your existence, and certainly not involved in your everyday issues. So we are starting a new series today called Life in the Spirit, which will surround Pentecost Sunday, which is next week. It's kind of Pentecostal Christmas, so make sure you come for that. But this series is called Life in the Spirit, and what we really want to do in this series is highlight all the practical ways that God the Spirit is working in our lives, how we can have a daily relationship with Him. God is not seen as a boss or a manager, but He's actually a heavenly Father. Like we have our Mother's Day connection today, He's a heavenly parent. He's wanting a relationship with us. And in fact, we can have a friendship with God. And that friendship is something that we can engage in every single day. Now, we have an opportunity today to do this. Now, I think it's important that I not be the only one preaching today. It is Mother's Day. And our topic today, when we talk about the life of the Spirit in our lives, is how we are helped by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is called a helper. And so another relationship in the Bible where someone is called a helper is a husband-wife relationship. And so I am going to invite my helper to come help me preach this message today. Rebecca is going to come. Come on up, my lovely helper. Our topic today, as I said, is being helped by the Spirit. So what does it mean to be helped by the Spirit? And this is my helper, Rebecca. We've been married for almost 16 years. We have three kids together. Thank you. We have three kids together, Reuben, Emmy, and Owen. They are 13, 11, and 9. And she's a fantastic helper, a wonderful wife, an incredible mom, and I'm excited to share the stage with her today. So she's going to start by reading our scripture.
Great. Hello.
Hello.
We help each other, actually.
Thank you. Our scripture reading today is from John chapter 14, verses 15 to 21. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. So in John chapters 14 through 16, Jesus is preparing his disciples for his eventual departure. He's going to die on the cross, rise from the dead, and ascend into heaven. So what will happen to his followers? How will they manage? Don't worry, Jesus says, I will send you a helper.
So Jesus is described as a helper, but then he says he's going to send another helper, someone like him, to be with us always and to help us, to teach us, to guide us, someone to talk to, someone to be with, someone to lead us, and someone to pick us up when we fall. So the word helper here is translated from the Greek word paraclete, not the bird. There's a L in there, paraclete. And that word has a variety of meanings for us that are really valuable, but it can be translated as advocate, which is like a legal word. So it can be like a lawyer who comes alongside you to argue your case and support you through a difficult moment in life, fighting for your cause.
Yes, paraclete can also be translated as counselor or comforter. The Holy Spirit is with us. He's for us. He listens to us. He cares. He's near with us in tough times. And he can offer advice, or he can just be with you to help pick you up when you're down.
Yeah, one of the ways the term paraclete has been used is when there's a ship out at sea that's in trouble, and a larger ship is sent out to come alongside that ship and guide it safely into harbor. That larger ship is the paraclete, the helper. And so this word can actually be translated as one who comes alongside. The Holy Spirit is that larger, more sturdy vessel that comes when we are in trouble, when we are in danger, when we are in need, to come alongside and help steer us into safety and safe harbor. So he's with us in the storm. He's with us when we're in trouble. He's there for support, guidance, and comfort.
And one of the things that I love about this passage is its connection to Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. So in verse 16, Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. Of course, God is called our Father in the Bible, but the Holy Spirit also is a parental role. A parent is a paraclete for a child. Yeah. They come alongside, they comfort their child, they counsel their child, they help their child. And even though the Holy Spirit can sometimes be described as more masculine terms, like he gives us power, he's also described as doing things that are typically more feminine. So comforting, caring. It's also the Holy Spirit who gives new birth.
Right.
And this doesn't mean the Holy Spirit is male or female, but the Holy Spirit relates to us like a loving parent, not like a boss or a police officer or a judge.
And in our family, Rebecca is definitely the more like comforting parent. When a child is hurt or going through something, she's much more likely to come alongside and care and nurture and love.
Yeah, that's because you laugh at kids when they get hurt.
It's true. Especially when they're little and they're like really awkward and they bump into things. That's funny, isn't it? Like that can't be the only, there was someone who laughed really hard at that. I can't be the only one who does that. But this is one of the practical ways that we have a relationship with the Lord. The Holy Spirit is our helper. He's close. He's nearby to come alongside of us, advocate for us, comfort us, counsel us with his wisdom. So we want to talk in a few ways about how this works out practically in our lives. Like, what are some of the times and some of the reasons we need a helper in our lives, when we need a paraclete?
Yeah, so the first point is that the Spirit helps us when we're lonely. And it may be surprising, but in our world today, even though we're more connected than ever through social media, FaceTime, Zoom, our computers in our pockets, loneliness is actually on the rise. And loneliness can cause not only mental health issues, but physical issues. It can lead to depression. It can lead to disease. There's certain chronic diseases like heart disease or diabetes that loneliness can trigger. And feelings of loneliness register in the same area of the brain as physical pain. So when God was creating the universe, he kept saying, it's good, it's good, it's good. But the first time he said something wasn't good was when Adam, the first human, was alone. So Jesus promised he won't leave us lonely. In John chapter 14, verse 15, it says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever." So the Holy Spirit comes to be with us.
Yeah.
Sometimes all we need from our friends or family is someone to be with us. Not to offer advice, not to try to solve our problems.
I'm trying.
Just to listen, to care, and just that we know we're not alone.
Yeah, that's good. You know, I was actually talking with a friend the other day. We were having lunch together, and he asked me about my relationship with the Lord and what I love about my relationship with the Lord. And I thought for a minute, and I realized, like, you know what? I've never not had a friendship with Jesus. And I said to him that what that means is I've never had the experience of being alone in a room and actually feeling alone. Like anytime I'm alone, I actually know that I'm not alone. The Holy Spirit is there with me. And that's such a comfort to me in my life. In times where I have been lonely or times where I've been struggling or in a difficult situation, I know that I'm never actually alone. He's always there with me as my helper.
Yes. Two chapters later in John 16, Jesus said this, "But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." So Jesus recognizes that his disciples are upset that he's going to leave. But Jesus came as flesh. He was like you and me in human form, limited by time and space. So the disciples actually had this amazing privilege to spend a few years learning from Jesus and being with Jesus and walking with him. But Jesus couldn't offer that same experience to everyone. So he had to leave. He had to leave so that the Spirit could come, who's not bound by time or space, that could give all of us the experience to be with God all the time, and that all of us can have that blessing.
Yeah, so one of the things I've always thought was cool about having a relationship with Jesus and relationship with the Holy Spirit is that he is super personal. So we talk about the Spirit being supernatural, like he's able to break the laws of physics and do miracles and do signs and wonders, but he's also super personal. So he's personal in that we can have a relationship with him, but he's more than that. He can have a deep friendship with every single person in the world. Like he can spend an eternity paying complete 100% attention just to you, and he can do that with everybody else. That's because he is super personal. He also speaks to us in super personal ways. Like his voice is not limited in the way my voice is limited right now. My voice is limited because it requires me to be able to communicate through organs, through my mouth, through a voice box, me to be thinking about words that translate into words that shoot out in vibrations through the air, and it's limited by the fact that your ears need to hear those vibrations and interpret them through your own brain and your own context and your own upbringing and your own understanding of language, and then you have to actually be able to translate exactly what I said and come to an understanding. And probably I've lost a lot of people just with that explanation. Meaning my method of communication is limited. It's limited by me and it's limited by you. But the Holy Spirit is super personal. He can bypass all of that stuff and speak directly into your understanding. Speak directly into your heart. Sometimes we ask God, "Oh, I wish I could just hear God's voice audibly. Why can't he just speak to me in an audible voice?" And when we ask for that, we're actually asking for a lower communication than what God can actually do, because he can speak to us so much more super personally than that by speaking directly into our heart and directly into our understanding with no room for miscommunication or misunderstanding.
Yeah, because we never miscommunicate or misunderstand.
No, we don't do that at all, but, you know, because we're so godly, I guess. But he communicates in far better ways because he is super personal. But the second thing, the second way the Holy Spirit helps us is he helps us when we're weak. The Holy Spirit provides strength. And we'll talk a little bit more about the power of the Holy Spirit next week and how he gives us power. But there are so many times where we find ourselves incapable, powerless, and the Holy Spirit gives us strength when we are weak. One way in particular is in our prayers. So Romans 8, verse 26 says, "The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." So sometimes we're so weak that we don't even know what to pray. Like, think about how weak you have to be to not be able to even pray. Not only do you not have the ability to change whatever difficult situation you're in, but you don't even have any words to communicate your request for help, which often prayer is literally just asking God for help. If a person is so weak that they're incapable of asking for help, that is weakness. But the Spirit helps us. The Spirit prays for us in words that we can't express ourselves. We just give God our attention. We give God our attention, and the Holy Spirit takes over for us. So one way this works is through praying in tongues, but sometimes this is literally just coming before God and just in groaning and in mourning and in grief, we present ourselves to Him, and the Spirit does the work for us when we are weak. Jesus told Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, "My grace is all you need because my power works best in weakness." The Holy Spirit helps us when we're weak.
Another way the Spirit helps us is when we're mourning or in pain. The Gospel of John uses the word paraclete several times. We see it also in one of John's later letters. And in the Gospel of Matthew, we see the word used as a verb instead of a noun. It shows an action offered by God. One example is in Matthew 5, verse 4. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." This is the verb version of the word paraclete. The Holy Spirit is the comforter who comforts. Yeah. And we recognize that there are so many moments in life when things don't go the way we expect. Hopes and dreams can get shattered. We experience pain and trial. And we recognize that there are women in the room whose dreams of motherhood maybe never came to be. We recognize there are women in the room who are trying to become mothers. And maybe that's not without pain or trial or loss. We also recognize women in the room who have probably lost a child. And this is hard. And so Mother's Day, like Pastor Madison said, is not always a happy one. And today I pray that you would feel God's blessing as you mourn, that you would be comforted by the Holy Spirit,
yeah,
and that you would know He is near to you.
Yeah.
For God blesses you when you mourn because the Holy Spirit is near.
You know, even in our own story, as a couple and as a family, we've experienced things that we didn't sign up for when we got together, and things that weren't planned, things that were a surprise to us. But we've also experienced that blessing of the comfort of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So a lot of people probably don't know, because we haven't really talked about it publicly here, not that it's a secret, but Rebecca has a chronic illness called rheumatoid arthritis. And so it's also called RA, and we wanted to share a little bit about our journey with that and how the Holy Spirit has brought comfort and help to us. So you want to tell people what RA is?
Sure. It's an autoimmune disease that causes inflammation in the joints. Basically, your immune system attacks the lining in your joints, causes pain. It can make it difficult or even impossible to do certain tasks. Thankfully, there are various treatments that can help manage the pain and keep the inflammation under control.
Yeah. So how long have you been dealing with this, and how did you find out?
So I think it's been just over 8 years. It all started with this crazy, awful illness. I was in bed for about 2 weeks in pain.
And I was like, come on, get up.
You didn't laugh at me, though.
No, I didn't laugh.
With pain and discomfort. At the time, we had 3 kids under 5.
Yeah.
You had just started a new job.
We had moved
to a new city. We had no family, limited friends. But the Holy Spirit was there.
Yeah.
During this time, our new church family rallied around us. They provided us with meals so that Dave didn't have to worry about dinners.
Didn't have to worry about my dinners.
Yep. A couple of our family members drove down to help take care of the kids. And one time in particular, one of my many visits to the emergency room, I walked in to go see the nurse, and there was an older woman sitting at the volunteer desk there. And I went up to her just to say hi. She recognized me. I was trying to put on this brave face. But soon enough, I was in tears because she was asking me what was going on. And it was just the Holy Spirit was there as she prayed for me, as she hugged me, and she just cared for me. And so eventually, because of my visits to the doctor and all the tests that were done, it was discovered that I had RA. Another way that we've seen God's Spirit move is oftentimes it can be a long wait to get into doctors or specialists. I have had no waits in Penticton or in Abbotsford. My doctor in Penticton even offered to keep me on her caseload when we moved here. But yeah, we've seen God's Spirit at work in those ways.
Yeah, so what are some of the ways that this has changed your life or our lives?
Well, there's certainly the physical aspect of it. So there's certain things that I can't do anymore. Like I used to play soccer, I used to snowboard. I don't do those, partly because I've had inflammation at different times and it's been too painful, or I couldn't commit to my soccer team because I didn't know when I'd be okay to play. Snowboarding, you get up and down, you use your wrists a lot. So I've gone back to skiing. So thankfully there's that option. And there's lots of other physical things I can't do. But maybe the less obvious ways are the fear that I deal with when thinking about the future, wanting to help my kids when they're older, be able to play with them, help my grandkids, play with my grandkids. I know it's a long way off, but I think about these things. And also depression. It probably took about 2 years for us to get things sorted out with medication, and that definitely impacted my mental health, which impacted our relationship and our family. So yeah.
Yeah. So thankfully over time and, you know, prayer and doctors and all that kind of stuff, you're at a point now where symptoms are basically managed. But how do you feel and how do you sense the comfort of the Holy Spirit these days?
Yeah. Well, we still continue to pray for healing.
Yeah.
We know that God is a God of miracles and he can do amazing things. Hasn't happened for me yet, but I keep praying. This disease has also given me insight into struggles that other people have, because often people with RA or other illnesses, it's like an invisible illness. You don't really see what's going on, so it gives me more compassion for others, more empathy for others, being able to minister to others. And I've definitely cried out to the Holy Spirit several times through this journey, and he's always been with me. And yeah, I know the Lord can continue to shape me, and the Spirit's always with me, and I know this isn't the end of my story.
Yeah.
There is ultimate healing and eternal life in the future.
Yeah, amen. So we wanted to share this part of Rebecca's story and our story with you, because we know it's not necessarily unique. Like, yes, every story is different in its own way, but we're not the only people dealing with stuff that we didn't sign up for, dealing with something that we didn't expect to happen in our lives. There's hundreds of stories in this room alone that could be very similar in that way. Life can be uncertain. It can change in an instant. We all face pains and trials and challenges. But what is certain, what we wanted to communicate today, is that we can be assured that the Holy Spirit is our helper, that he is near, he is close, he is coming alongside of us, whatever we are dealing with. So can he heal? Absolutely. Can he just calm the storm? Absolutely. But while we wait for those miracles, we know that he is close to us. We know that he is bringing comfort and wisdom and peace and even joy in times of trial. And we all need that. But the only thing we need to do is ask. The only thing we need to do is ask. Jesus promised. He said, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. So that's how we want to finish today. Ben's going to come back up. We want to finish by giving you an opportunity to call out to the helper. As the band comes and as they begin to play, we're going to have our prayer team come back up. Prayer team, if you don't mind doing double duty. If you want someone to join you in calling out to the Holy Spirit, and maybe in a moment of weakness, you have no words to pray, but someone can pray with you. There is a helper. So whatever you're going through today, whatever loneliness, pain, or mourning, there is a helper. He is coming alongside of you today, and We just need to ask. So this is the prayer that I want to pray over you and that I encourage you to pray for yourself. Just simply this: Jesus, I need help. Please send me your helper. Jesus, I need help. Please send me your helper. Would you bow your heads with me? Prayer team, please come while we're praying. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your goodness to us. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for our sins and rise again. And Jesus, we thank you that you sent us your Spirit, the Advocate, the Helper, the Counselor, the Paraclete, to come alongside of us in our distress, in our difficulty, in our loneliness, in our weakness, in our mourning, or in our pain. You are there to help. And so, Holy Spirit, make yourself so real to us today, we pray. And God, as we call out to help in these last few minutes of our service, we know that you're going to show yourself to be faithful. We know, Lord God, that you're going to come near. You're going to speak and guide and bring peace to difficult situations as you come alongside of us. So, Holy Spirit, please come. Jesus, we need help. Please send your helper today. In your holy name, amen. Would you stand with us as we sing this song? I encourage you, whether you pray in your seat or come on up to join our prayer team, call out on the Holy Spirit to come and help.